staying out. Obviously, Sister Boucher is very, very sick. She apologizes, and she even changed her schedules on her trip a little bit so she could make it back for this Sunday, and then ended up sick in the bed. And I forgot to take up an offering after just nodding to you that I got it. Amen. If I could get Brother Harmon, will you go over there and just set that one of them baskets in that window? Put your tithes and offerings in the basket. And if you have a building fund, make sure you put it. Can I get one of the baskets up here, too? One basket up here and one in the window. That way we can keep them separate for what they are. But if you have building fund, let's put it up here. If you have offering tithes, put it in that one. Amen. We're going to the Word of God today. If you did not get the text, I will tell you what it said. I'm going to be preaching something a little different today. I've been on a theme. If you've not been on our Wednesday night services, I apologize. You've been robbed because I've been on a terror on Wednesday nights on the future of our church. And we have been preaching, teaching on a growing church. I've been teaching a series out of the Fusion book by Nelson Piercy. It is one of the best books I've ever read on getting people involved in the church. And I am going to err off of that just a little bit because something caught my eye this week, and it really got my attention pretty heavily. So we're going to be teaching or preaching just for a little while on this topic today, the value of a bride. The value of a bride. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, and you will see where I'm going with this shortly. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse number 1. Verse number 1 reads like this. It says, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to whom?" Anybody catch that? To Christ. "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye received another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I would not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but thought I'd be rude in speech, yet in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things." I'm going to stop at that point. And we are going to go to Revelations chapter number 19. Revelations chapter number 19. Starting at verse number 6. Chapter number 19, verse number 6 reads like this. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself," what? "Hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." I'll preach just for a little while on this topic, the true value of a bride. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, as we come before you, I'm asking you to help me and give me wisdom and strength today to impart what you have put into my spirit that I may impart it to this wonderful group of believers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I call your attention to a article that was published that I ran across online. It was published on June the 3rd, 2016. It was in Salon.com, which is just another one of those websites that have just news and writings and topics of political things and things of that nature. But the thing that caught my eye when I was looking at this was the title of the writing, which was put out there by J. L. Zagorski, and it was on the section called The Conversation. But the title that caught my eye was simply this: Marriage May Be Obsolete. Now that catches most all of our eyes. The title was Marriage May Be Obsolete. It says fewer couples are getting hitched than ever before. It says a little over half of adults in the U.S. say they're living with a spouse, the lowest share on record. What gives? When they started giving some of the statistics, it was alarming to me as a pastor, because obviously our the title of our church is built upon families, and it's New Beginnings Family Fellowship, and this is something that I hold close to my dear to my heart, because I believe a strong society is built upon strong families, and whether it's you're in connection with your parents or your mom and dad or whatever it is, or if you have found a spouse and you have given your life to be together in this life and holy matrimony, these are all good things. I believe that a society is the strongest when its families are at its best. But it gives a little start off topic that alarmed me. It said in the 1980s, 2.5 million weddings took place per year. And now when they did this study, it came across that now there is only 2 million. We are down 500,000 marriages a year when our population has increased over that same amount of time. And the study began to delve into why are less people getting married? What are the purposes? What is the causes? What is going on? Why are young people in today's society deciding that it's better to live alone? And they even did the study and checking whether was it because people were now cohabitating instead of getting married. And they have found that the cohabitations are down also, which is a good thing as a preacher, but a bad thing as a society, because what that tells me as a preacher of the gospel is people have decided to become more and more selfish in our society. We've decided that we would rather go a life alone than we would to submit to another person. That tells me when you look at the breakdown of our society, it is not a small thing. This is bigger than what we realize. What we are inbreeding into our society, not biologically, but ethics, if you will, in the society's moral compass, is we are breeding into a society a thought pattern that says, I am my own person. I can live my life the way I want to live. I don't have to answer or accept or look at and submit to anyone else. This goes not only in marriage, but it also gives into the societal realm of police officers can't tell me what to do. The teachers at school can't tell me what to do. I am my own person. I am my own being. I will be who I want to be, and nobody can tell me otherwise. I woe is us, because this is a dangerous place to go. This is a slippery slope that the devil thought that he could have this kind of attitude at one point in time. And that is, if you ask my personal opinion, it is a slippery slope down what I would consider witchcraft, which is the start of rebellion. When you no longer can look at anybody as a higher authority in your life, and now you won't submit to anyone, you are going down a dangerous road as a society. When we look at it on the basics of a social, sociological, not even theological, but just sociological around our society. The breakdown of the family, the breakdown of cohabitation. And I don't say that respectfully. I say that as knowing what I'm just talking about. People dwelling in harmony and unity together. Whether you choose to live with a buddy or a friend or someone around you that you can decide between the two of you who's going to make dinner that night or who's going to help pay the bills and who's going to pay what and do what. And living in harmony together. And when you see that start to fall off, that people can't get along in a society, we are in big trouble as a society. It's one thing if me and Brother Harmon can't see eye to eye about how to fix a car. And I can assure you I'd submit to him because he knows a whole lot more about it than I do. He does it for a living. I work on air conditioners. But when there are things that you may have disagreements on, but when there is a society that says we cannot get along and we just choose to go our separate ways for the rest of our lives, and we start to isolate ourselves from the rest of the world, that is an alarming thing to me as a pastor. And it's very easy for me to understand why our society is going through what it's going through with this younger generation. When you look at that from that prism of the effects of those kind of thoughts upon our society, I think this is due to some of the teaching that my generation was taught of you need to spread your wings and be your own person. And mom and dad was kind of an old fogey. And everything that they say isn't all measured up. But you need to be your own man. You need to spread out into society. And we still hear these teachings yet today. But I caution us to look back at what it's got this generation. Because I contend that it's not the best of results when we look at how a society was raised. Because my generation is the marriage generation of today. We are the generation that has the lowest statistics for staying together in couples that this society has ever seen. That's my generation. I'm in my 40s. We are middle America. We are sitting in a town that's in what's considered middle class America here in the city of Winnemac. But it is concerning to me when you look at the things that's been pounded in to the mindsets of children today where correction was not so much applied in the homes near as much as the generations in the past. And now all of a sudden we have allowed children sometimes to raise themselves on the streets because mom and dad said, you know what, just go do your own thing. I don't want to deal with you anymore. I have my own life to worry about. I have my own life to live. And if you refuse to live under my roof and won't cooperate with what I'm going to cooperate, just go do your own thing. And that is exactly what they did. And now they have figured out they can go through life and live without anybody else and influencing their life. And when that happens, the danger zone and the whistle bells better start going off because there's going to be a short order that you're going to find yourself in a fix that you can't get out of. There was this is not just nationally, but now the United Nations gathered data from roughly 100 countries. It showed the marriage rates change from 1970 to 2005. Marriage fell in 4/5 of those 100 countries. Nearly all of those countries had a drop in marriage rates from 1970 to 2005. A drop occurred in all types of countries, poor and rich. It clearly wasn't based on geography, since one of the biggest declines occurred in Cuba from 13.4 to 5% being married. That's huge. That's a massive, massive, massive drop. So they began to study why has this drop occurred. They began to look at, is it because that more people are working outside the home? It's because is it because of student debt? Is it financial reasons? Is it because of political laws that now maybe favors no longer being in marriage? And they began to study those laws, and they found out that the laws pushing and the benefits of being married are still very much higher than living alone. So it's not the laws that have been changed. So why is the marriage drop? People deciding that they no longer want to have a spouse in today's society. I still believe it's a spiritual aspect. When you have a society that no longer reverence and adheres and succumbs to a God and making him an authority in your life, you also will lose respect for the fellow mankind and your respect for those in authoritative positions in your life around you. And when you have that breakdown, it starts not when you look at an officer in the eye and tell him, I don't care what you said, you can't make me do it. And that happens often today. When parents are calling officers that says, come get this kid because I can't control them. They're tearing my house apart. They won't listen to anything I say. Some of you young people have seen children. This has actually happened in their homes. To think you would have to call the cops on your own children. And the cops come and says, you're their parent. You raised them. It's up to you to fix this situation now. But now all of a sudden, we start to look at the history of why this has happened. And it's because of nobody saw the value in being a bride. You see, the problem when you no longer see the benefits. Some of you, maybe it's because my wife was sick all weekend that God laid most of this on my heart, because I was doing the laundry. I was washing the dishes. I was sanitizing the bathrooms. And when I finally laid down in my boy's room last night, that I never slept on that bed, and that bed was kind of hard, because I wanted my wife to get a good night's sleep because she was so sick. And I knew if I would have turned over, it would wake her up. And I finally laid down about 11:30 last night from doing everything I needed to do and trying to get everything accomplished and making sure everything was washed and ready to go for Monday, because I knew she wasn't going to feel like doing anything today. And I realized, and I said, you know what? People don't realize how much the bride really does until you don't have it. And that's what we're seeing in a society today. But it's not just in the secular world, but it's also in the church. You see, the Bible says we are the bride of Christ. So what value does a bride bring to a family? Number one, the bride has to be willing to submit to the bridegroom. You say, what do you mean? The bride has to look at the eyes of him and say, you know what? I am willing to give up everything that my daddy's promised me, everything my daddy has handed me. And I'm willing to walk away from my family, give up my name, and take on yours, and be your bride and loyal to you. That's a big step. But as a church, we've got to recognize we can't live halfway in the world, halfway for God. We can't look at God and say, God, I really like the benefits, and it's a good life around the church, and I enjoy this, but yet I don't want to give up all of that. And can we just be together, but I'll keep my own identity of who I really want to be and who I really am. And I don't want to really fully commit to, you know what that is? That's a recipe for disaster. That's a recipe that says, you know what? I love my life enough that I'm not really willing to fully commit and be everything that God has called me to be. And you know what? You walk into a marriage that way and good luck, because you're not going to stay married very long. Why? Because there's going to come that day that you're going to say, you know what? I want to go do this. And they're going to say, I don't think it's in our best interest. And you're going to say, well, you knew this before we got married. And all of a sudden, you got a marriage that's crumbling around you. Why? Because you weren't fully committed to the cause of Christ. You see, we've got to recognize something that I learned a long time ago. When I married my wife, I became a better man. You say, what do you mean? What I mean is, every one of us have things that we individually are not the best at. And you know, the problem is, we don't want to admit those things. The value of a bride is it allows that other person to bring the best out of me. You say, what do you mean, preacher? What I mean is that my wife has the ability to make or break me. She has that ability. She can destroy me, or she can make me the most successful in the business world, in the spiritual world. And she can push and twist and pry and pull the very best out of me when I decide I would rather just do something else than spend the extra time studying. And she has the ability to look me in the eye and say, you know what, Sister so-and-so is going to be there today. And you know what, I dig into that scripture a little bit harder. Why? Because she has the way of pulling those things out of me. And the car may get a little dirty, and it's easy for me to say, I don't really want to wash the car. And she can look me in the eye and say, boy, it sure does look good when it's shiny, honey. And you know what that makes me want to do? It makes me want to get up and go out and make my bride proud. And you know what? When God looks us in the eye, and that bride has the ability to make God look good, or it has the ability to make God look really bad. And we as a church better recognize that. Why? Because what this society as a whole sees around us is the value of what living for God really is. And when we show this society that we really don't care, God's not really important, and it really doesn't matter. We have the ability of pulling the best out of God, or making the world to see the worst of God. We can say God is just a bunch of do's and don'ts, and God really don't want to let me do this and let me do that. Or we can look at them and say, you know what, just like I tell my wife, I said, honey, you were the best decision I ever made. The day I decided I was going to make you my wife, and you said yes, that was the best decision I ever made. Well, I'll tell you one better than that. The day I decided that I was going to be the better half of God, and God was going to reach down in my life, and He was going to call me His own, was the best move I ever made in my life. And you know what? He took something that maybe didn't come from the best side of the tracks, and He pulled me out, changed my life, turned me around, put a garment upon me, a garment of salvation. He put purity in my life. And you know what? He put His name upon my life. In foreign countries, when they have brides, they have something that they call a dowry, where they purchase. They put things up. They would give lambs, or they would give things, or money and gold. Still very prominent in foreign countries, especially in the Middle East. It was a cultural thing where the husband would put up so much, and you find it in the Bible where one made him work an extra 7 years or something like that in order to purchase that bride, because there was something about putting effort into it. But I don't think you'll ever find one that ever gave what the bridegroom that we serve has ever given for us. He gave his eternal life. He gave his blood. He hung himself on Calvary to get this bride. And we were purchased by the very blood of Jesus Christ. And you won't find anybody more committed than one that's willing to die for his bride. Someone walks into my home to try to take my bride, they're going to have to walk over this old boy. If they think they're going to touch that little girl, it's over my dead body. Are they going to get there? But if I feel that way about my mortal family, how much more does God feel that way about you? He gave everything to call you his own. And sometimes we take it just a little bit too lightly, because we are the bride of Christ. We're the one that the marriage supper of the Lamb is set for. The day he's going to call us home. You see, without the bride, there would be no legitimate birth. Think about that. I don't want to put a stigma on anything, but it's sad to me when you have broken homes and broken marriages, and those kids go through life sometimes with their head hung down because they don't have some of the blessings that other families have. And that's not, I think that was a great disservice to those children to go through life that way. And it's all over our society. It's more often than not in today's society that you have those broken homes and those broken marriages and the broken families. And they say that the healthiest children are raised in a home with a father and a mother in a God-fearing atmosphere. They say those children will make more money. They'll be more successful in life. They'll have a better achievement course in life as they go through life. Why? Because they have a healthy family. And you know what? When we have a healthy relationship with God, and when we have that personal relationship and recognize that we are the bride of Christ, we can birth children into the kingdom of God. And you say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about when we can bring them in through the name of Jesus Christ. They have a better chance of actually making it. In fact, I would contend they have the only chance of making it. Why? Because it's that name that separates everything else. It's the name that has the power. It's the name that has the creative power. It's the name that has the delivering power. It's the name that has everything that's going to separate them from truth and fact and fiction. And God has given us the opportunity to be the birth mothers of those children in today's society. And God recognized the need of having a bride. He recognized the need of having a church. He recognized us as being the one that was going to nurture them into the place that he could call them his children. You see, no other people can do but the people that have the name can do. You see, when you don't have the name, you don't have the power. When you don't have the name, you don't have the delivering power. You don't have the creative power. You can have relationship, but relationship and program won't do what the name of Jesus Christ will do in your life. The fourth thing that the bride brings to the table that we often underestimate is the bride always compliments the groom. But yet the groom is willing to let the bride be the star of the show. Think about this. Jesus came to this earth. Could have he went around and spread the gospel himself? Sure he could have. He could have went to the highest mountain in Jerusalem, and he could have established his church all by himself. Let me speak to some of us men, all of us men that are here today. There are things that we can do on our own, and we can do it really good. But there are times we need to recognize the value of a better half. Jesus recognized this as he began to call those 12 men and he began to train them and he began to perfect them and challenge them and stretch their thinking. And then he said, I'm going to send you out and you're going to build my church. You are going to prepare my bride. You are the one that's going to birth this thing into existence. I'm not going to do it. And you know what? As much as I wanted to, as much as I would have loved to, I would have taken the pains that my wife was going to go through in childbirth. I would have taken those things in a New York minute to relieve her from some of those things that she was going to go through. But we've got to recognize God. It pains him to watch us go through some of the things that we go through in this life. But we've got to recognize that is God allowing his better half to do what she's good at. And that is why we walk in the flesh and we are bound by this flesh. And we have problems, we have hurts, we have pains, and we have needs. But God said, that's my bride. And you have something. You can do it better than I can do it because I have prepared you. I have called you. I have chosen you. You are a royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation. And he allows the church to go through some growing pains and some birth pains. Some of those aren't easy. You know how hard it was for me to stand there and watch my wife go through that, knowing there was nothing I could do. But in order for me to have that beautiful little doll sitting there, it must be done. It wasn't easy. Even so, there's times that God stands back and we as a church and as a young church, the growing and the growing pains that we go through, he's looking at us saying, you know what, 10, 15 years when that little child's a teenager, you're going to recognize the value of what you went through to bring that child into existence. You see, we don't have the ability to bring the life. We don't have the ability to give it the blood. They say the dominating bloodline comes from the Father. We can't give them the blood. The blood comes through the name. But you know what we can do? We can usher them in. We can bring them in. We can feel the pains that they're going through as they're trying to navigate from a life living without a God to now serving a God. And sometimes those are not easy seas to navigate. And sometimes the storms come up. And sometimes the storms rage. And they don't recognize the value sometimes of having a God to be there in the calm in those storms. But we've got to be the one on the ship that says, just calm down. It's going to be all right. Somebody go get Jesus. I know somebody that the master of the wind is on our ship. He has the ability to stop the rain. He has the ability to change the winds. He has the ability to calm the seas. Don't get alarmed. Don't get frustrated with life. That's the value of the bride that we are a part of. We aren't the one that can save them. But everything in a bride's world, biblically, if you're doing it the biblical way, resonates all glory to the bridegroom. She don't carry her own name. When she bakes a cake, most of the time, if you've got a good wife, she'll say, look at this oven. He's got me. And this blender set up. That's why I can make such a cake. It's not because I'm a master chef, but look at everything he's given me to make all of this happen. May we look around this building today.
It's not because we're smart. Brother Harmon, it's not because I'm a good preacher. It's because of God. We have what we have. Some of you are sitting here. Brother Joe and Sister Jade, you're sitting here. Not because Sister Cooper was a great-grandmother. Because God put everything in order to bring you to this place at this time of your life so that He could say, that's my child. That's the kind of God we serve. If we ever get the perspective that we are our own people, I'm my own preacher, this is my church, you know what I'm doing? I'm aborting that relationship with God that I should have, because this ain't my church. This is His. I'm just the birth mother. I'm just the one that gets them into the presence of God, and God fills them with His Spirit. I'm just the one that introduces them to the one that changed my life. And you know what He says? I'll make them a part of my body, and we will become one, and they will become a part. And now you can look back after 10, 15, 20 years of serving God, and you can say, I didn't get here by myself. It's only by the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ that I can stand here whole today. See a real bridegroom. I'm closing with this. A real true bridegroom. Brother Joey doesn't go up to his bride and say, how much money do you have? I can tell you what mine would have done. I'd have got a big old handprint across that face, and she'd have said, don't you show back up at my house ever again. You know what a real bridegroom does? He looks into the relationship. He looks into the eyes. You know what? It's been more than once, Brother Harmon, that a man has married a young lady that was poor, didn't have much money, didn't come from a fine family, or maybe came from a badly broken, messed up home. He said, I didn't marry you for that stuff. I married you for you, who you are, because I love you. Bridegroom that we serve looks into us. He says, I don't care about your pedigree. I don't care if your dad and grandpa ever lived a day for me. That doesn't matter to me. I don't care if you're in debt head over heels. You know what? Most men would look at that young lady that when she steals his heart, you know what he would say? We'll deal with the debt. Let's just go get married. Let's just do it right. Let's just get this thing over with. Why? Because you need to be with me. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ did for every single one of us. He didn't look at our pedigree of how many apostolics was in our history. He looked and said, you know what? You may be broken, busted, and disgusted, but you know what? I want to make you part of my bride. I have called you. If you'll just take my name, money won't be a problem anymore, because I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. You know what? Your emotional issues ain't no problem anymore. You know why? Because I'm the peacekeeper. I'm the one. I'm the comfort. I'm the one that can put your life back together again. You may not have everything in this world, but you know what? I do. And if you will become part of me, we'll take care of the rest of that. I'll put your life back together again. And you know what? It's even deeper than that. And I'm glad my wife's not here today, because there was a day, Brother Smith, sitting in a living room with my father-in-law. He was fighting cancer, and he grabbed my hand and he said, son, I ain't scared of dying. He said, I'm just worried about mom.
Brother Harmon, I was comfortable when I looked him in the eye and I said, Dad, when I took your daughter, you no longer had to worry about Mom anymore, because as long as I'm in this life, she's going to be taken care of. He said, that's all I need to know, son. That's all I need to know. The added benefits of a bride, when you take part of that bridegroom, is God takes care of you. And not just you, but your children and your children's children and all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Can we stand? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed here today, every single one of us here today have issues. We have things. We have stuff in our past. We have baggage the devil throws up at us time and time and time and time and time and time and time again. But this preacher came to remind you that the value of a bride is she is willing to walk away from her old life and become something new. You're willing to give up your identity to take on his. You see, when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the dowry was paid by his blood. You were willing to walk away from everything you have to become his. It's very easy for the devil to throw that stuff up in our face and say, but yeah, you were, and you got this, and you got that, and you got a... Sometimes you got to look at the devil and say, you know what? Over my dead body, are you going to remind me of things of the past? Because that was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. It was washed in a watery grave of baptism. So get behind me, devil, because you don't control this life anymore. I'm not my own and you don't own me. But I'm a child of the King. I am part of the bride of Christ. I was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And with that comes power. And you know what sometimes we need to do? We need to go upstairs and knock on that door and say, honey, I don't want them to talk to me that way anymore. God, I need you to come down and take care of some things. And God says, wait a second. I think that's my bride. I think that's somebody that I gave everything for. Excuse me. May I have a word with you, devil? But get out of here. You no longer control this life. You no longer have control over this world. So I ask us today, maybe you've just let some things slip between you and the God that purchased you. Maybe the devil is throwing up some things in your life. Or maybe you've never realized the value of truly being the bride of Christ, and you've wanted to hang on to two worlds too long, to where now you're questioning whether you want to make the jump and actually be the bride of Christ. Can I walk in the Holy Ghost here just for a minute, church? Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Under the power of the Holy Ghost here today, I'm challenging every person in this room. If you're struggling between two worlds, that will only last so long. You can't be committed. You're going to either love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. But no man can serve two masters. So I want to open these altars to all of us here today, whether in your pew or at this altar. Can we find a place to pray? If you need to rededicate yourself to the work and the cause of Christ, I'm challenging you to do that today. If you need to look into the eyes of a merciful God and say, God, it's been a while since I really thought about what you really paid for me. Maybe I've got a little sidetracked. Maybe I've kind of doing my own thing, and money kind of has gotten the better of me, and I've started thinking nickels and dollars and cents instead of really what you have given me, that I don't really need to go out and make a living as a bride. Yes, yes, we need money and we need finances and we need those things as a people. But when that money starts controlling everything about our life, instead of controlling just what sustenance we need, and we start allowing those things to be more important than God, we're headed down a dangerous road. We need to realize God is my provider. God is the one that's going to see to it that I have. Yes, I got to get up. Yes, I've got to go to work. But I'm not going to sit at home and fret about it. I'm not going to bury myself in debt. But I'm not going to miss church. I'm not going to do the things that the devil is trying to put up so I can keep up with someone else in this world. I'm going to live my life for God and for God only. My hobbies aren't going to consume my world anymore. Because I need a healthy relationship. Because there's the day that the marriage supper is going to be coming, and I'm going to be the bride that's made herself ready in the fine linen. And I've made preparations. It's coming. It's coming. It may be closer than we really think, but it's coming. God's coming back for a prepared people. God's coming back, church. He's looking for a bride that's made herself ready. A bride that set herself aside, purified herself for the moment that the bridegroom was going to appear. She still had oil in her lamps. She was prepared for the moment of His coming. Are you willing to give yourself and your life to the cause of Christ? Let's continue to pray, but I feel like in the Holy Ghost, there's some things some of us need to walk away from. If you allow me just to be pastor and spiritual shepherd here just for a moment, there's some things that some of you is clinging too much of your world and your life. And if you're not careful, you're going to look back and you have slowly stepped right away from the God that changed your life. Let this preacher say it as calmly and kindly and lovingly as I ever can. There's some things we need to separate ourselves from for the cause of Christ. You say, preacher, is it going to lead me to hell? No, I didn't say that. But it might lead you away from your relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, those decisions are hard decisions to make. Those are the kind of decisions we must be willing to make if we're going to separate ourselves for the cause of Christ. Because I can't hang on to two worlds. I've got to serve God with everything, every ounce of my being. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God.
Life is not my own.
Iko no robosia, ekana iko robosia nata.
I give myself to you.
Yenari o si.
Life is not my own. To you I belong.
I give myself.
I give myself to you. Life is not my own.
Yeah, oh God.
To you I belong.
God, oh God.
I give myself. I give myself.
God, I give you every part of my life.
My job is yours, God. My home is yours, God. I even gave you my children and my family. As I stood in that altar that day and dedicated that little baby girl and that little baby boy to you, God. You know what I was saying, God, as I don't hold anything back. Even my very own blood, God. It's yours. I'm a part of your creation, God. Everything I am. In Him we live, we move, we have our being. But that's not a drudgery, God. That's a blessing. Because now, God, I can be in your will. And there's no better feeling than being in the will of God. Look back over my life, God, that's been so blessed. I drive a decent car, God. I got a good job, God. And those things are not because I'm smart, God. It's because you blessed me, God. You've blessed me so much. You gave me a beautiful bride. Children. You've allowed me to pastor a great people here in this city. Become the pastor of this city. I didn't deserve that, God. It only happened because I was willing to give up my life. Follow in your footsteps and submit myself to your will, God. It's not because I felt I was capable, God. I didn't go to some seminary, God, to do what you called me to do. And I recognize my humanity and my failures and the things that I feel, God, I can't do. And it seems you make up the gap every single time. When I'm looking for the words of wisdom, God, it's like you just show up at the right moment, at the right time, every single time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. To you I belong.
I give myself, I give myself to you. My life is not my own.
Oh God, oh God, oh God.
Give myself, I give myself to you.
Oh God, oh God.
To you I belong. I give myself to you. I give myself away.
Oh God.
I give myself away
so you can use me.
Give myself away.
Let's all stand across this place here today.
Oh, I give myself away
so you can use me.
Give myself away.
Oh,
I give myself away
so you can use me.
Life is not my own.
To you
I belong.
I give myself to you. Can we all stand all across this place? We're going to close. I'm going to leave you with one last quote that I hope it hits you as hard as it hit me. Sister Joanne Ewing made this statement to the National Home Missions Board as she was asked to come and say a word to them. She stepped to the pulpit and made one sentence.
that changed the whole atmosphere. It could have been spoken in a whole message. As she walked to that pulpit, she simply said, "You are only free from your responsibility of reaching the lost when you meet a man or woman in whom Christ didn't die for." Last time I checked, he died for all humanity. And until they're all saved, we as the bride better be the bride he called us to be. Brother Harmon, there shouldn't be another person that ODs in this city without them knowing there's a God and there's a better way. Not one more. You say, "Preacher, isn't that a huge mountain to try to climb?" He called us to climb it. Brother Joey and Sister Jade, there better not be one young person in this city that's had a messed up life that doesn't know there's a God that can change their whole world. Change everything. You'd be surprised. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. I know them, you know them. Brother Payne, Brother Smith, there better not be one person, one man in this city that dies and goes to hell that doesn't know that God can take somebody that's fell away from God, that God would bring them back and restore them sevenfold to everything they had if they'll just commit their life to God. Sister Luttrell, there better not be one elder that dies in this city that says, "I waited for there to be an apostolic church." But Sister Luttrell doesn't say, "I waited a long time. And now, in my senior years, I'm helping to build a church in my very own city. God sent somebody after all this time." Don't give up hope. Just keep believing. Go through everyone in this church, because we all know where we've been. Sister Cooper, there better not be a mama in this city that goes through what you've went through in the last 2 months. What Sister Cooper don't say, the devil tried to snuff me out over it, but I'm still standing because God brought me through. You can make it. You can live through this. You can do it in Jesus' name. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Heavenly Father, you spoke to every single one of us today, including me. And you didn't have to, but you did. Because I believe that any bride that has value, the bridegroom is willing to speak the hard things into her life, to allow her to see the real reality, for them to really have a lasting relationship. It's not all sunshine and roses all the way, but they're along the way. Sometimes, God, you've got to speak these things into our lives so we realize that there's decisions we have to make, things we have to do to keep this relationship real and alive. And I feel like today as a church, you've spoken those things to us as a church today. And for that, I don't want us to be ungrateful, but I want us to be grateful, God, that you have the ability to speak that into our lives.
that we might draw closer to you. You might draw closer to us. You've purchased and you've paid so much for this relationship, and you don't want it to falter and fail. That's why you give us these kinds of messages, God.